I was tasting that booger flavor and it was great.
Fuck Harry Potter then. That was disgusting.
You just have a weird shit the next day, that's all.
Can I talk about my favorite murder?
Hot dogs.
I'm just going to be topless for no reason. And we're like, what is going on at this camp?
Goth girl. That was the one that I related to the most. I was like, yep, that's my person.
It's the 413. Let's tell everybody to listen to our show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 413 podcast featuring the PCB peeps. Tonight we have the usual crew. Hello, Abby.
Hello.
Hello, Andy.
What up?
Hello, Bill.
Yo, what's poppin', peeps?
Hello, Jared.
Hello.
And I am your host, Eric. And tonight we're here to talk about Friday the 13th. And without further ado, I'm going to kick it over to Abby to tell us a little bit about the cultural significance of Friday the 13th in this superstitious day.
Well, friends, I learned some very interesting facts in my research today. I'd like to share some of them with you. So Friday the 13th has long held a significant place in pop culture, particularly as a date steeped in superstition. The fear surrounding this day is rooted in historical and cultural associations with bad luck. Shockingly, some point to the Last Supper where 13 people sat at the table before Jesus' crucifixion on a Friday as one of the origins. Others link it to the Knights Templar, who were arrested on Friday, October 13th, 1307. Over time, Friday the 13th has become synonymous with misfortune, and the superstition continued to grow across literature and media. The turning point in pop culture came in 1980 with the release of Friday the 13th, the horror movie that forever solidified the date's association with terror. The film introduced audiences to Camp Crystal Lake and a mysterious killer stalking camp counselors. Jason Voorhees became a symbol of unstoppable terror, a silent killer who couldn't be reasoned with and seemingly couldn't be killed. His supernatural resilience made him a lasting figure in horror cinema. Jason's character evolved into a pop culture icon recognized by his mask, machete, and the eerie sound associated with him. Outside the movies, Friday the 13th's association with fear and bad luck has transcended the screen, become a staple in pop culture. People still view the date with caution, and it's often used as a marketing tool for horror films, books, and events. For a horror fans, the number 13 is no longer just a means of bad luck. It's become a celebration of one of the genre's most iconic killers.
Awesome.
Right on.
Was that doxing, though, giving out his full name?
Jesus Christ or Jason Voorhees?
Both. I mean, I forgot about the Jesus Christ one. Oh, my God.
He didn't say the H, though. That counts, right?
Wait, and Jason H. Voorhees?
I hate to be the well-actually person on this, but... for Jesus, wasn't it a Thursday that
I think it was the Last Supper? 59 on Thursday night.
Yeah, because
like, I mean, it was good, a long time ago though. So I mean, people could have messed up.
Good Friday when he got crucified.
Well, maybe it was his betrayal associated with the.
Fair enough. Oh, yeah.
Good Supper, the Last Supper.
I mean, he had a court date.
I did only attend 13 years of Catholic school.
To dip in a little bit more to the Friday the 13th film franchise, so I want to just cover a couple like fun facts here. So original film was written by Victor Miller and directed by Sean S. Cunningham. It was originally inspired by all the success that Halloween had as a slasher. Ooh. Now... certainly not the first slasher, but Halloween sort of like brought it back at the end of the 70s.
Yeah.
Where we saw a lot of gaps. So I want to talk about one of the first slasher movies that exists, which is from 1932, oddly enough called 13 Women. And Whoa. This was also a kind of a strange, like, seance-y film, but was widely credited as being one of the first sort of like staples in what they would later form as slasher movies. And then really 1960 Psycho, I think, really bringing back a lot of like the themes of the mysterious killer, the sort of like putting on a costume. And then into the 70s when we had films such as Black Christmas and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which really brought more of a character trope into the mix, and then followed later by Michael Myers of Halloween, and then finally Jason Voorhees. Now, oddly enough, the first film, Jason was not the killer, although we do get to see a young Jason at the end of the film, but really Jason's mother out seeking revenge for the camp counselors who neglected to take care of her son, who eventually drowned. We don't see the iconic hockey mask until part three. So part two is really where Jason is, you know, officially the main character killer of the film, wearing a burlap sack on his head. And he continues that burlap sack slightly into the third film. And then we move on to the hockey mask that's brought to the barn by one of the jokesters of the crew, Shelley. And that's where the hockey mask finally takes form. And all in all, the film franchise had 12 films, including a battle with Freddy Krueger, which... unfortunately, it took all the way into the 2000s for that to come true, but two massive icons of 80s horror.
The showdown, the mega powers.
I heard they wanted to put Ash from The Evil Dead in Freddy vs. Jason. It was supposed to be Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash.
Yeah, can I interject this too? Like, so if they make one more movie, it'll be the 13th of the Friday the 13th franchise. Oh, they got to be planning something that's going to pop
at some point. You know,
we would hope they would, but they're not.
They're going to make a movie for $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the real issue right now is that, as I mentioned before, you have a writer and a director from the first film. And so Victor Miller sort of being like the writer and sort of like adapting a lot of these characters. There was a lot of fights over the rights to these films and to use Friday the 13th and Jason Voorhees as like a main character and anything. So there was a lot of battles back and forth, including more recently. There was a great video game that came out by Gun Media. And unfortunately, the game also got shut down at some points and they couldn't expand on it because the lawsuits continued. Wow. And so we're still not at a place, I think, where we're ready to bring it back. There was some teasers of a sort of prequel series called Camp Crystal Lake that was supposed to be on Peacock that I believe is like now fully out of production.
Oh.
So we don't really know what happened there. Definitely want to look into that. But I think there's still this cultural impact, as Abby mentioned, just Jason Voorhees as a character is just lurking and...
yeah, the iconic sound.
So with Friday the 13th, one of the things that's unique about this is I think it started in 2018 where we started a tradition of getting together on Friday the 13th to watch horror movies, eat food and bullshit.
Yeah, let's give flowers to you, my man. Like, Eric, this is like Eric's baby, and like he puts together a fucking awesome Friday the 13th party. Like that first one that you did, and you had the cake with the Camp Crystal Lake. Like that was fucking dope. Just the streamers and stuff, like, it's a cool setup. Like, I'm not a horror movie guy. I get frightened of my own shadow, but like, it's a fun time. I always love the Friday the 13th parties.
And you had 3D glasses for one that we watched. Remember that? So we watched it in 3D. And then there's always prizes when you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to, I want it to feel like a kid's birthday party. So you always get to leave with some trinkets or gift bags and treats like that.
Candy.
Yeah. But we usually just pick a random Friday the 13th film to watch. We didn't watch them in order. We're just like, hey, what do you want to watch tonight? And I think in our gatherings, and I think we've done five at this point, five or six parties, kind of an interesting way that they transpired. So the original one was, we did one, I think it was in 2018. It was probably like September or August maybe. And we had the first party. As Bill mentioned, I went and got a cake. It was funny talking to a cake decorator. Like, I want you to make it look like the Camp Crystal Lake sign from Friday the 13th. And she was like, So that was cool. And we eventually, I think there was a gap where there weren't many things happening. And then 2019 happened. And at the end of 2019, I like looked ahead and was like, hey, we have a Friday the 13th in March,
yeah,
which is also my birthday.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a gathering on that day and it's going to be awesome. Unfortunately, that was the start of the travel ban. It was March 13th, 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Big COVID hit. So had to cancel the party just to be safe. And then I think it was like probably a year before we were able to get together again and do it. There's not a ton every year, so we have to kind of pick and choose our battles. But we've watched quite a few films throughout and always like try to just, you know, do something fun, another activity. So this round, we also did some interesting food items that we'll get to shortly. We tasted some things from fall that are new, and then we bean boozled again.
Yeah.
Not a full game, but we bean boozled. We didn't record it, but we bean boozled.
And I actually participated this time. I didn't just make them do it.
Yeah, which is, was great. It was a very minor participation.
I don't know the hot ones again though.
I think I participated more than Andy.
Yeah, that's hers true. Was a lose-lose, too. Like,
yes.
There's no way to win for her.
The problem is we should have done the bean boozled first because then we ate a bunch of food and then we tried a bunch of different candy. And then we're like, oh, hey, we're going to have these horrible jelly beans. And then half of us were like, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. So
yeah.
First thing, I want to throw a shout out. So we were actually in Hampden County, not Berkshire County. So we had to get some pizza from local to Hampden. So I want to shout out Casa Pizzeria from Ludlow. Had some pretty killer New Haven style pizza there.
Dope as hell.
That was really good. So that was our pizza of the night. And then we made popcorn and other snacks. But Abby and I both apparently had like very parallel reasoning here and went to Five Below and just grabbed tons of weird candy to try.
The synergy was off the charts.
Yeah. So some of the things that we tried some fall specific items or just newer items. So one was, I guess more of a summer, but the the pink lemonade Kit Kat.
Blech.
We tried a Toast Ghost. Is that what it was called?
I think so.
Toast Ghost Kit Kat, like a cinnamon toast crunchy one.
Oh, yeah. That one was decent.
It's okay.
Yeah.
A glazed donut Kit Kat.
Fine.
That was awful. That was the worst of the Kit Kats.
What?
Well, hold on. We'll get into it. Let me.
Okay.
Some Jello pudding cups.
Oh,
like terrible. Like little like cups.
Oh.
Mid.
How? They sounded like they should be so good.
Yeah, right? they should have been. Reese's like lava peanut butter cup, big cup.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really fuck up Reese's too bad.
Right? True. It's chocolate and peanut butter.
And what am I missing, Abby? Was that it for the like chocolate things?
I think that was it for the chocolate selection.
And then we moved on to sours. So
yeah.
Mostly just like interesting, like Warheads and things like that, other sour things. But the weird one was
sour
punch straws had a pickle roulette. So it was all green sour punch straws and that apple, lemon, lime, I think watermelon, and then pickle flavor. And so you just picked a strand, you didn't know which one it was, and you ate it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, it's either pickle or it's one of these other good flavors.
Are we going to discuss that now?
We have to.
Okay. We are.
So,
go ahead, Bill.
Well, so they kind of twisted around each other, right? Just how it's packaged.
Oh, they commingled like hell.
Yeah. So everything turned into pickled.
It was all vaguely pickly.
Yeah. It's like no matter what you ate, it was pickled.
We went around the horn. It was like, okay, I think I got pickle. Everyone's like, I think I got pickle. Pretty sure I got pickle here. And then we went around again and I was like, no, I definitely got pickle this time. The first one was definitely apple, but this is like very subtle, like garlic dill thing going on with all of them.
Yes.
I was loving it though.
Yes.
Yeah. It was interesting.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But going back real quick to some of the chocolate treats. So I think universally, like we weren't in love with anything.
No.
I don't buy candy usually anyway, so I'm not the one to go for. But
yeah.
I wasn't big on much of it.
I legit started shaking at one point. I had a sugar high. It was wild.
I don't think the Toast Ghost one was great. The glazed donut one was way too sugary. It was like a sugar bomb.
It was just awful.
Yeah. I actually liked the pink lemonade.
Yeah, the pink lemonade was the best out of all three.
That was my least favorite of all of them. I
like the Toast Ghost.
Yeah. Pink Toast Ghost and then donut would be my ranking.
Kind of reminded me of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So
Yeah.
Those Jell-O pudding cup things, though, those were like...
I was so bummed out about that.
Almost at the very end,
after all the bad happened, it almost tasted like a melted fudge pop. I'm like, okay, so it should have been good again. Like, how the...
It kind of tasted like a fudge pop, but like where you were trying to aggressively lick the chocolate off of a wooden stick.
I got splinters.
Yeah, so you're like, okay. I think I got a little chocolate in there. Not great. I also thought the Reese's Lava Cup wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
No, the Reese's wasn't bad. It's peanut butter.
I just think that there's no reason to fuck with the peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think they don't need any, except for potato chips, I don't think they need anything extra.
Nope, just the shapes for the Halloween, right? Oh, it's ghosts or it's Christmas trees. That's it.
And they should all be big cups because the ratio is better.
Boom. True.
See, I think that's where we might disagree.
Shapes used to be different. The Christmas trees used to be like way more peanut butter than chocolate. Yeah,
it depends on the shape. Because if you get the bells, right? The Christmas bells, that's the best ratio in my opinion. I think it's a better ratio than the tree. It's a harder chocolate too.
Yeah. The hot take right now.
Different mold.
You're going to get sued by Reese's.
No.
We're hyping them up right now.
We're giving them flowers, man. The bells are great. Ring that bell.
Definitely ring that bell. But some interesting stuff to try, certainly.
It was a great spread.
Yeah. We tried to live it up a little bit.
So the dots. The ghost dots.
Were awful.
They weren't good, but they would have been better if they put a smiley face on them.
Yeah.
Or glow
in the dark.
Yeah. Well...
I mean, they didn't have any bad flavors, though, right? They were one of the worst, and they were just normal flavored dots.
Yeah. Can I just call it out? They're kind of like the LaCroix of candy. It's
the least amount of dye in everything we consumed that night.
Very mild, just bland and boring, and they would have been so much better if they had a smiley face. Because my ghost.
But you can chomp it off.
Yeah.
True. Like you, little dude.
But it adds a flavor.
Well, let's talk about Bean Boozled.
There was the booger candies. Is that
you're right?
Oh yeah.
Part of the sours were some sour like Boxo boogers, and you went from like I have pneumonia to like regular booger, like in the color. That was a nice touch because it could have just given you all green, but it was like different shades of green for different flavors.
The yellowish green they had a chart
on the back what the flavor was going to be. Yep.
There was a pineapple
based on the shade.
I had the pineapple. It was tasty.
It was good.
They were sour.
I was tasting that booger flavor, and it was great.
Speaking of tasty, what about those Dutch? Were they Dutch candies? What were they?
The
Swedish
super sour
candies?
Ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
German. What are they?
They were like vegan unicorn shaped things I got from World Market. Sour candies. Much more sour.
Super sour.
Yeah. Which I appreciated.
Those Warhead cubes were like trash.
They were. Because all right, when you think of Warheads, what do you think of? You think of the hard candy.
I
right?
think of like my mouth puckering so hard.
Yeah. Right. That
I burst like a taste bud.
Absolutely. I think I took up smoking after having a Warhead because I was like, I gotta get the sourness out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But maybe that killed all my taste buds because I didn't taste that wasn't very
they weren't like super sour. I thought they were good though, flavor wise. Yeah. I thought they were good.
They were soft and
we had Sour Patch Kid zombies. It was like two flavors. It was like a raspberry and something else.
Yeah.
Well, there was a part of the box candy.
Sour Patch Kids. It's like the watermelon ones. It's like they're still think I would rather the regular ones rather than those. They get stuck in my teeth. I don't like them. So, I mean, I do, but they're annoying.
Well, the stuck in the teeth, I think the next segment was a problem.
I feel like we're old if this is the discussion we're having about candy getting stuck in our teeth. I mean, the vacuum segment of the party also made me feel old and appreciate it. But listen,
all I'm saying is that Dyson is lying to us about their battery life. It's all I'm saying. I found a loophole in Dyson battery. I'm not giving it away on this podcast, though. Okay. You can reach out to us directly on Instagram if you want to know. If you have a Dyson stick vacuum and you're like, God damn it, it only runs for about a minute and a half. And yes, I'm using Max, okay?
I mean, that's the problem, though. Like,
it's Max not a problem.
It's a fake feature to make you think the vacuum is like a heavy-duty vacuum. You're not meant to run it on Max. It kills the battery.
I think we need to have a life hacks episode where we deep dive this.
Okay, yeah. We need
to table it and do a deep dive on life hacks.
Max is like the cocaine of settings on there, okay? I can't go to Max and all of a sudden go back and be like, sure, you know what? I think a coffee will do it for me. I'm on Max already, Andy. I can't go back.
Yeah. Take it to the Max.
Yeah. Now, for the record, I've never done cocaine. Now, I was just making an example there. Although I've heard a tell of a drug.
R.I.P.
Yes. All right, let's talk about Bean Boozle. So we didn't play like a full round. It was more like, hey, everyone, reach in, grab a weird color, and then we'll figure out if you got a good one or a bad one. And we kind of went around the horn there. And the only additions from the previous round that we played last year, there was burnt rubber.
Yep.
I feel like that was there last time too.
No one got it if it was there.
I feel like I saw it.
Because we never had a black one in the batch last time. I think it was newer.
I think it said new.
And then it replaced dead fish with what did it replace dead fish with?
Wasn't it
burnt
rubber?
Wet dog and banana.
Wet dog.
Oh, that's right.
No, but there was one that specifically replaced dead fish. I have to look at the box again. But
the only two new flavors were wet dog and burnt rubber.
Wet dog. Can I pet that wet dog?
Got that dog in him.
So that was the funny one, is because Abby's first experience in a Bean Boozle was picked a yellow bean, and the options were wet dog or top banana. And as you may know, Abby hates the taste of bananas.
Absolutely. So it was banana slander in my first episode on the pod, and I'm continuing it today.
All right, so to walk us through this bean-tastic voyage you went on, Abby, for the first time. Did you have any empathy for the game that you made us play 1 year ago?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And I was very angry with myself I was very tempted to open my eyes when I picked one. I was shooting hard for a blue one because I knew I could tolerate either of those flavors. Yep. But I decided to play fair, and I regret that decision every day since.
Did you finish that bean?
No.
No.
I know you didn't.
I
got barf. I was like, nope. Like, I gotta get this out before I was Ralph.
Yeah,
Andy. My first one was barf, and I was like, you want to do it again? I'm like, no.
Yeah, it was not good. I got a really gross one the first round. I can't remember which one, and then I had a good one, and then I had another bad one, which was burnt rubber.
Burnt rubber.
Bill and
was
I
the
both
worst.
Had to experience burnt rubber.
Oh my god! And it got—that's what I was saying. It got stuck in my tooth, so I was like, it was just there for like 15 minutes, and it was.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the drinks.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh okay.
That's how we washed them out of our mouths.
Very true.
And one drink that could take out any other flavor.
Yeah. Well, let's finish the Bean Boozle discussion. Then we can talk about the drinks that we sampled as well that were a palate cleanser. Anyone else have a particularly gnarly one? Andy Barf, Bill and I both had burnt rubber. That was a new one.
Liam.
I got toothpaste, but
that one's okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Liam because he got that Band-Aid one, right?
Oh, he got Band-Aid, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Taryn got burnt rubber too, I feel like.
Dirty sock.
Ooh. Oh, that's
terrible. Or both. Too. He might have got both.
He definitely got Band-Aid.
There was one there, yeah.
Was from last year, was the dead fish it was a white one, right?
Oh, so Dead Fish was replaced by Sweaty Socks, I think. I think that was the replacement.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because Band-Aid existed last year, yeah. I remember. But I think Sweaty Socks was new. And I had Dead Fish
was
left.
In this one. I think they got rid of Stink Bug. Stink Bug was the one, remember last year, Bill, we got that. I got stuck in our teeth and everything after that tasted like Stink Bug.
Okay, we should have done better research. We tried a bunch of weird ones. There's a lot of flavors on there.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Hard to remember.
We were trying to forget that as quickly as possible. Believe it or not,
they're all bad.
Yeah.
We got video documentation. The good ones
aren't good.
Yeah.
If we get enough listens on this pod, I'll post the video.
Right.
Or at least the video of me eating it. I'll get consent from the rest
of them. Listen, if we get a lot of people downloading this, we should do it live for the fans.
No.
It'll be the third time.
Andy, why are you making these props?
Andy, you had a half of one and then stopped playing.
Dude, no.
I got barf on the first one.
Oh, yeah, watch the video. It's a bite. And then he's like, nah.
Yeah. So the drinks. I don't even know why I picked these drinks out. It was just random ones. But one was Cheer Wine. I never had that before. It's basically like a North Carolina cherry cola.
It's from England or it's from Australia.
Yeah, we were guessing where it was from. And then it said North Carolina. But anyway, that was pretty good, actually. It's kind of like a cherry Coke, Dr. Peppery thing going on. Didn't mind that. That was
really, really tasty.
Then there was Jones. I think it was called like Blood, like Vampire Blood or something.
Yep, Vampire Blood.
And it was a strawberry super lime.
Fruit punch one, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of fruit punchy. It was red.
Strawberry lime fruit punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
And Jones is mostly natural ingredients, so it wasn't like fructose corn syrup. And then the last one was, I think it was Reed's butterscotch beer.
Mm. Butterbeer.
Oh,
it was not butterscotch.
Isn't that like a big Harry Potter thing?
It is. And
fuck Harry Potter, that was disgusting.
The way that it's described in Harry Potter, it's like, it warms your belly, it tastes great. You know, this magical world, it's gonna be amazing.
A little kid again, Bill. That drink would probably fill your mind with wonder.
This was the Natty Ice of butterbeer. We've never tried any other butterbeer.
It tasted like seltzer that someone poured butter extract into.
And some simple syrup.
Was very buttery.
And the butter extract was a bunch of melted Werther's from Bill's pocket.
When I smelled it, it smelled like if you smelled the inside of a movie theater popcorn bag after you ate all the popcorn.
I thought I was back on West Housatonic Street.
I think it was Lee and Bill and I all thought it would be a good idea to mix all three drinks together in a, I guess what you would call a suicide fashion from the slush puppy days. Sorry if it's offensive to anybody these days. It's funny because even with equal parts, that butterscotch beer, butter beer, just like all you could taste, it took over. Oh, it was fucking awful. I think I would have rather had the Band-Aid Bean Boozle than the butterscotch beer.
That's a
hot take, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. If we ever do any bets, like the loser will have to like drink a whole bottle of it.
I don't think anyone could do it.
Yeah.
That's just like the little challenge.
Yeah, I was gonna say, would you rather?
Yeah, little challenge. Little challenge or butter beer?
Oh.
Butter beer challenge. You gotta hold it down. You gotta drink it in 5 minutes. You gotta hold it for another 5.
Or a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm grossed by milk these days, so probably.
Would you rather do a butterbeer and those Jell-O cups, or a half gallon of milk and a bar of Baker's chocolate?
Oh,
I mean, I'll eat the Baker's chocolate. I'm better with that than fucking anything else.
How about this?
Okay.
Butterbeer,
uh-huh,
or a stick of butter?
I'll take the stick of butter. Butterbeer.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know, man.
We'll call it the Butterface contest. And you roll and you get one or the other. You either have to eat a stick of butter. Unsalted butter, too.
Oh,
not salted butter is unfair.
You have to go to the hospital for high cholesterol or poisoning from the butter beer.
Andy's going to be pouring a whole...
No, you just have a weird shit the next day, that's all.
He's gonna
the shape of a butter stick.
put a whole salt shaker on that. You know Andy.
Oh yeah. Well, oh, I mean, yeah. He's giving it to me on salted. I gotta add my own, man.
Andy, like, that was the worst salting motion I've ever seen.
I thought he was churning butter.
What? I thought he was going to shake weight.
Oh God. That was X-rated.
It's a big salt shaker. That's all.
It sure was. And you needed two hands on that puppy.
Come on, it's like the Olive Garden one, man. You gotta, you know.
When you're here, your family.
Oh, this podcast's getting flagged as explicit.
Good thing only we can see this.
Never release the video.
All right. Speaking of Andy's soup, salad, and breadsticks, let's talk about the movie we watched because.
Yeah.
So Friday the 13th has, again, we talked about 12 films, a lot we can pick from, and we've seen most of them as a group at this point, but I thought it'd be good to watch one of the more goofy ones that's not as scary because Abby's not the biggest horror fan of all time.
Same.
Oh, and Belle. Yeah. So we decided to watch 1985's Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. And some interesting stuff about this film. Number one, it's the only film, and again, I'm giving out spoilers here. If you haven't seen it, it's fucking 40 years later. Like, get over it. It's the only film that doesn't actually have Jason Voorhees as the killer besides his mother from the first one. It's someone pretending to be Jason committing the murders. Mm. And long story short, essentially, it's coming off of Tommy Jarvis, a.k.a. Corey Feldman from Part 4, who kills Jason, quote unquote, with an axe to the head at the Jarvis residence.
As you do.
And now this is like fast forward 10 years later, and he's going to some like kind of like a halfway house for like psychiatric patients in a way. And it's on this big farm, big old cast of characters on there, but he's going there and he's all jacked up at this point. He's having flashes of Jason being alive still, all these things happening to him, even though it's been 10 years and he hasn't seen Jason.
Hanging out with chickens,
all weird stuff.
Yeah.
Now, he's kind of a psycho in this, right? Like, can we just... He's a loose cannon. He's like body slamming people through tables, anger problems.
Not saying words.
That's why they sent him away to live in a home.
He's just terrible.
It seems like everybody else is a lot more well-adjusted, though.
Oh, I know, right?
It was a good one.
Aside from the dude that axed the kid that offered him a chocolate bar.
I mean,
he got in like halfway through.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Pam took a lot of care in there. We know she hand-nestled the patients there.
That's for sure.
With a wet t-shirt. She can fix me. That's what everyone was thinking. But the premise is that there's like this punk rock dude that's chopping wood, and one of the other characters offers him a chocolate bar. And it seems very innocent, and out of nowhere, the guy decides that he wants to kill him with an axe because he offered him a chocolate bar, right? Like, that gets a little weird. And then these two dudes from the hospital come to pick the body up in an ambulance, and one of them is having a little bit of a reaction to this. Now, this is Roy Burns, and he is the guy who pretends to be Jason because he realizes that he could probably get away with it somehow. And this was played by Dick Wieand, and he only played Jason in this film.
Can I give his name?
Yeah.
I know, right? You just doxed him.
We can dox him. He's
no,
okay.
Yeah, no, he's a public figure.
Are you going to give his name? Just called him a dickweed.
Dick Wieand. He was a bit of a dickweed. But basically the premise is that his son is the chocolate bar kid. And he decides to start killing everybody at this
chocolate bar orphan, because the kid, they make it very clear, is an orphan and has been an orphan like his entire life.
It's a Hershey bar, right? It's like a form of a Hershey bar. It's a weird packaging.
Yeah, it was a generic one. Hershey didn't give them permission.
I don't know, but the way that he held the candy bars made me extremely uncomfortable. He like death gripped them. Oh, and I just don't know how they weren't completely melted on the inside, or maybe they were.
They were.
And
that's why
his face looked the way it looked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's all over the sheets.
A comical like Fu Manchu of chocolate on his face. It was something.
No judgment from me. Yeah. That's how I eat chocolate too.
So anyway, that's the general premise of this. And Tommy Jarvis is still having like an existential crisis about whatever. And as you probably know, like from part 6 and 7, Tommy Jarvis comes back and he's way cooler, like way better character, different
dude. I will say this, though.
Way dumber character in the beginning of the next one.
Well, yeah. He makes more mistakes, but he's not a wild card. He has a personality at least.
And he's got a cool jacket. But like,
definitely a cool jacket.
Roy, like, so when we're watching the movie, like the sheriff and his department come up very rarely. They like don't try to figure out where Jason is or stop him at all. And then when they figure out that it's Roy, they're like, we know it's Roy. And they have his wallet. And instead of going to his license, they go to a glam shot of him.
It's like, what is this?
How do we know this is Roy's wallet? Like, he didn't show us his ID. He just showed us a glam shot of him and then a glam shot of the kid, the orphan.
Who else would have those two photos in their wallet?
Somebody who knows
Pam.
Yeah, Pam could.
Yeah, Pam might be the one.
I'm just saying, like, can you at least show his license? Like, come on. It's Roy's wallet.
Did he have a license? Shot.
I mean, I would hope he drove the ambulance. It's got to be licensed.
Was he the driver?
Back then?
I mean, it's true. It was the 80s.
In the middle of the backwoods.
Well, I would be remiss if we didn't mention who I think was a star character performance here.
Yeah.
Shavar Ross.
Yes.
Who, oh, yeah.
As many of you know, plays Weasel in Family Matters, who Bill effed on a previous episode during
Fuck the yeah, I did. Kill. I'd do it again.
He married Waldo and killed Eddie Winslow. I mean, let's just say it.
I stand by my decisions.
Okay. Good to know. He plays Reckless Reggie in this. He's like probably 10, would you say?
A
10-year-old?
Probably.
Cool kid. And he's got a badass cousin or brother, yes. Older brother.
Brother.
Demon. And there's a great scene of Demon and his girlfriend and
Ooh, baby.
And enchiladas. It's pretty epic. It's one probably top 10 outhouse kills in a movie.
Damn enchiladas. Oh.
You gonna be all right?
It was definitely my favorite scene of the movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff.
Check out my girlfriend.
Yeah. So goofy film, probably like it wouldn't be your first Friday the 13th film, but definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. It's pretty good.
Awesome 80s dancing.
Oh, 100%.
It absolutely was my first Friday the 13th film, and I absolutely recommend it as the first Friday the 13th film. It is not even a little bit scary. We watched 10 minutes of the next one at the end, and so that I could see how much cooler the Tommy was in the next one. A, he was a lot cooler, and B, the first 4 minutes of that movie are scarier than the entirety of the movie that we watched.
Yeah, very true.
The movie we watched, like every 5 seconds, one of the girls would be like, oh, well, I'm just going to be topless for no reason. Topless. And we're like, what is going on at this camp? There's adults supposed to be watching these kids. And then the ladies are, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm going to sunbathe nude right now.
The first scenes they said when they brought Tommy Jarvis in, they were like, pretty much you're going to be your own boss. So there's nobody watching anybody. They just brought a bunch of kids to the woods and were like, all right.
And then they had a weird redneck neighbors who had a farm, but didn't really look like a farm.
Junior and Ethel. Yeah, they were quite the pair.
What were they growing?
There were just nothing but trees all over the place.
Growing trees.
Going back to the boobs real quick, I just want to say that probably the most memorable rack from the film belonged to someone with a very interesting name. Real name of this actress who played Tina, Debbie Sue Voorhees.
Whoa!
We got a Voorhees throwing something into the mix here.
Here's a question. Who was the person that got killed that made you the saddest? For me, it was the grandpa. You know, he's just working, taking care of his grandson. I mean, he's got to bring the kid to work with him every day to work with these weirdos, which is dangerous enough, and then he gets killed.
Goth girl. That was the one that I related to the most. I was like, that's my person.
Violet. Yep. Yeah. Bill had like heart eyes as soon as she came on screen.
She could do the robot though. Like,
yeah, she could dance.
She could dance.
What was the song she was dancing? Oingo Boingo or something?
Yeah.
Which is right up Bill's alley.
For doing a little trivia for that.
Well, didn't the dude from Oingo Boingo, he's the one who wrote all the songs for Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. In the Simpsons theme.
Yeah.
Right?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I thought that was the guy from Devo.
It was one of them.
You wish it was.
Whip it.
Can we go real quick back? Did everyone get a chance to watch Corey Feldman shredding on guitar after we got to see him in the film? He's not really in part five. He's just like, it's more of the flashbacks they always do where it's showing him from part four. But it was just funny because we're like, hey, we just talked about him the other day.
Can we also go back to the diner person?
Oh, and, epic scene.
Yo, that was the scene there. I'm like, how does this fit in the movie? But I'm glad it did.
Well, that was the other paramedic, right?
Was
that
yes.
Yeah, Billy.
That makes sense.
Sniffing coke, man. Just sniffing coke.
He's just doing lines of coke, rocking out in his like Camaro, waiting for Chuck from the diner to come out. Oh, that's a great scene.
Yeah, axe to the bald spot. So
yes.
Oh yeah. They really emphasize that bald spot.
Yeah. The actor's gotta be like, yo, come on, man.
Most random killing though, Raymond, the dude that just like walks on the farm is like, I'm just looking for some work, ma'am. And then like he's in it for like three. You think he's somehow gonna be like a hero and he's like just some transient that gets murdered and you're like, oh, yeah. Why is he even in the movie?
I thought they were gonna make him the killer. Because I'm like, all right, like maybe that was their original plan.
Yeah, that was the red herring. Just kill him.
Yeah.
They're like, kill him quickly. That this guy's the killer.
I'm hungry, ma'am. You got to work first on the farm. I'm like, what? You don't have any animals on this farm? I just see it. Like, it looks like it's the woods. And there's a tiny shack on it. This is not a farm.
Yeah, by no means is that a farm.
My favorite murder. Can I talk about my favorite murder?
Please.
Sure.
Since I'm so experienced. My favorite was like the giant scissors where they chop the girl's eyes up.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was also topless during
that. She was. Yeah, that's Debbie C. Voorhees.
Okay. And I also really enjoyed the fact that all the boobies were real.
Hmm. Well, this is the 80s. So, yeah.
Well, I mean,
80s was a lot started to get out of hand.
Yeah.
Probably late 80s is when they started really blowing up, literally. Yeah. Hey,
I'm trying to think. I mean, the kills were okay, right? Like, I mean, I feel like there were some misses, right? Like the mom's making the stew. It would have been cool to shove her head in there if it was boiling. You know what I mean? Like some.
Yeah, but you got the tomato
in the forehead with his machete and she fell into the soup.
Yeah. I know. I mean, insane. Missed opportunity.
That was a stew, first of all, Jared. That was chunky as hell. Come on.
It was watery.
It was a terrible stew. Let's just be honest. Like, out of all food in a movie, that was not representative of good food in a movie. There's been some good food in other Friday the 13th films, so this was unfortunate.
I mean, what was unfortunate was Tommy Jarvis, they made him out to be like this kung fu fucking master for the whole movie because he's been kicking, he like kicks people's asses. And then he sees Jason and then he doesn't do anything.
Totally.
He pokes him.
Yeah.
He just pokes him.
He gets slashed across the chest and he's just out.
He does poke him right in the femoral? Like right in the leg. So.
Oh, he sticks him with that pocket knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
So it was like, if it's not Jason, like how the hell did Roy keep going?
Can we talk about Pam for a minute?
All right. Yeah.
Clarify which one's Pam.
Pam's a little problematic.
Yeah.
The Pam one that is ran back works in the rain and heels.
Oh yeah.
40
the
miles
wet, the
back
wet
to
up.
Yeah.
The wet
button.
Yeah.
Jenny saved by her boyfriend.
No bra.
Doesn't know how to drive.
Can't drive.
I don't know if it's doesn't know how to drive, but like you got to check to see if there's gas.
It ain't got no gas in it.
It's like a sling blade.
You
got to
find the gas can. You got to fill it up.
Hmm. Right.
She also was in, I think, a couple other. I know her from Best of the Best, the karate movie starring Eric Roberts. Are you really all looking at me like that?
I don't know who that is.
Get cultured, you fucking swines. Best of the Best. Great film from 1989. karate movie.
The only karate movie we need is Three Ninjas.
Oh. Thank you. Yes.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's like saying the only car I need is a bicycle. Like, come on.
You got a problem with the Three Ninjas?
I don't have a problem with them, but that's like a stepping stone to what Best of the Best is. And Best of the Best 2, also epic. James Earl Jones.
So doesn't that make Best of the Best 1 not real then? So just skip Best of the Best 1 and go right to 2?
Well, they go fight a different team. They're in the Olympics.
So they're not Best of the Best in the first one then?
Is it like the movie Miracle? Is it based on a true story?
Is it like Rudy?
Is it like Rudy? Fuck Rudy.
Is there a gorilla in it?
He's offsides.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's like Rudy.
I don't understand offsides.
Well, I just want to do a quick callback from when we were talking about Oingo Boingo. And we were both right about Nightmare Before Christmas and The Simpsons. It was Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Rugrats is the Timo guy.
The hero of the story is Reggie. I mean, that kid.
Yeah.
He freaking hits him with a tractor. And I mean, he drives the tractor through a wall.
Yeah.
It was a stone cold moment. Like, I thought the glass shatter was going to happen. Kim Roth.
So cold. Reggie was going to slap some beers together and start dumping beers on on himself and on Jason. He's like,
The one thing I don't like about, and this isn't like true for every horror movie, but like, think about the slasher villain in horror movies. Even if you go to what became more of like a modern day slasher, like Scream, how come the killers never make an ow noise? They get the shit beat out of them every time. And there's not even like so much as an ow.
That would make them human and then they wouldn't be scary because then it would just.
But they're human in Scream. It's like the neighbor. Hmm.
Yeah. How do we get on Scream? I thought we were talking about Friday the 13th.
Well, he's talking about slasher.
Slasher. Like Roy Burns gets stabbed in the femoral artery, an inch away from where, an inch away from where his dick is. I don't know. Could have been hanging to the left on that particular day. But
it's there now.
I like to think that Roy was possessed by the mask. Mm. And that's what gave him the superhuman ability.
It wasn't even Jason's real mask, though. It was a different mask.
That's what I heard about that.
They said they incinerated him.
The mayor said they incinerated him, and then the sheriff on his own, his second of his third scene said, "Were you there?" So it's like, and then they never went with that, too. So we don't know if Jason got incinerated.
No, I think they comically buried him in like a foot of dirt.
No, that's when they dug him up. No, they dug him up in the first one. It was his coffin was ground level. Remember? Because that was we were like
in a big pile of dirt on top of him.
Yeah, that was part of the dream. Maybe it was weird.
You just like look on the grass, all flat grass, a big lump. It looked like a pole vaulter's penis. A specific pole vaulter, not all pole vaulters.
Not all pole vaulters. Just the ones
which we're sure is a fan of the pod. That guy too. I bet he listens. He's a viewer.
He could be. He's wear a separate pair of earbuds down there.
Oh, God.
Trying to make Bill do a spit take.
It was close.
Very close.
Kind of like a full vault.
Oh, you know what's kind of funny? Pam. So Pam, who is like, she just has a very weird relationship with the patients there and stuff. She's like one of the counselors, but she just causes, a lot more problems. Played by Melanie Kinneman. Guess where Melanie Kinneman was born? Holyoke, Massachusetts.
No way!
So.
She could be a peep.
So if you're listening, give us a call. We'll get you on the show. You can talk to us about it.
How is she going to call us?
Bill, she's a big Hollywood actress. She'll figure it out.
Okay. Drive. Have her people call our people.
Yeah, she could drive here to make sure she has gas.
Make sure you have gas. Bring Reggie. You want to really talk to Reggie, the hero of the movie. Reggie, who made sound decisions.
Mm. Can we also talk about the Temu Molly Ringwald and the kid that got epically rejected by her?
Oh, the stutter.
Oh, yeah. That was rough. So the kid played Jake. Mm-hmm. And they gave Jake like a massive stutter in this, like comical like stutter. And the girl that he was, I think it was Lana, maybe?
I guess, yeah.
Anyway, he's like, he starts thinking he's getting in good with her. Yeah. And she, yeah, just she's completely like, rejects him. They both get killed, so.
Everyone, that's the other thing in this movie. Everyone got killed.
Everyone dies. Like,
yeah. 75 Reggie's characters died in this fucking movie.
A lot Reggie's off screen, good. Too. There and were like a
maybe
bunch
of Pam, right? Reggie survived, and what, maybe Pam? Or did Pam actually in the end?
Reggie, Pam, Tommy. I think that's it.
The cops.
I forgot about Tommy surviving, actually.
How could you forget, Andy? He's in the next film.
I mean, because he was so bad in this one. It's like, I block him out. Like,
dude, with the trailer park sign?
I mean, the trailer park sign was cool. But once again, he's kicking everybody's ass. You're like, all right, this guy's going to fuck. He's gonna beat up Jason, right? They're going to have a fight. And then he just goes, oh, Jason. Yeah. And then he gets like knocked, like slashed. You're like, what the fuck, Tommy? What have you been training for, man?
He thought it was a dream.
Well, this was like really last minute, but I had a couple before and after clues I wanted to give you guys. They're sort of like pop culture and some spooky themes. Just a couple of them. Just want to see if you guys can get them here. Simon's partner meets bald-headed light bulb from the Addams Family.
The Uncle Fester.
Yeah. Garfunkel Fester.
Garfunkel Fester is correct. Next is a hook-wielding, bee-covered serial killer meets Shania Twain's number one single.
So it would be Candyman, Shania Twain.
Feel like a woman.
Candyman, I feel like a woman.
I feel like
Candyman, I feel like a woman is correct. This was a film franchise that featured a bunch of demonic toys meets a Metallica song from Stranger Things.
Oh, this is Andy.
What's the Stranger Things Metallica song? I haven't watched Stranger Things. So I know it's Puppet Master. So it would be... God, what's the Stranger Things song?
It's also a Metallica album.
Oh, so
it would be Master of Puppets?
Because it's Puppet Master... Master of Puppets, right? No, that doesn't make sense.
Puppet Master of Puppets.
Puppet Master of Puppets.
Oh, Puppet Master. I haven't watched Stranger Things. Oh,
I watched Stranger Things. I didn't look at the soundtrack. It's like, just do metal.
And finally, the band that gave up the ghost meets Freddy Krueger.
American Nightmare.
American Nightmare on Elm Street.
American Nightmare on Elm Street is correct.
Thank you, Bill. I'm like, I don't know the band. I know Nightmare on Elm Street.
I was like, I know they give up the ghost fire.
Awesome. Early well done. That's all I had. I just had a couple.
That was some good shit. I like that.
I'll write more for our actual Halloween episode.
Some leftover candy.
Anything else you guys want to chat about?
I want to just say on a side note, I couldn't finish Long Legs. And I told you guys about it that night. That Nick Cage is just a phenomenal actor, and he freaked me out so much I could not finish that movie. I know I mentioned Nick Cage a lot, but if you have not seen that movie, watch it. That is going to go down as a classic horror movie.
You don't even know you didn't finish it. You have no fucking clue. It could be horrible from the second you stopped watching.
I just know.
It could have been fucking it.
It gets worse. The movie gets worse as it progresses, to be honest with you. But I will say, to Andy's point, the first like 5 minutes of the film, when it's pretty much only revealing half of like Nick Cage's character, because it's from the point of view of the little girl like looking up. And so it's like this kind of cropped off thing. It's a fantastic 5 minutes. Like, it is, as an opening scene in a film, like
just like how it's
top notch, the way it's shot. It's like, it's set in this old house in like the 1970s. Ooh. It just has like this pale,
like Poltergeist.
Yeah, it just has like, it's like everything about it, the way it's shot. It's in like a narrow, like 4x3. Like, it's just, it's really, really cool the way it's done. So definitely peep it out. If that doesn't get you going, I don't know what else will. I hope you finish it someday, Andy.
I don't know. It was so scary.
I got one thing, because these Friday the 13th parties are like one of my favorite things. Eric, you do such an awesome job with them. I was talking to some friends of mine. I was like, what would you do, like, as Eric has done with the Friday the 13th parties, if there was like a special interest that you have as a party like that, with like the gift bags and stuff and like the streamers, and just, I was racking my brain. I was like, mine would probably be something wrestling. Mm-hmm. or I don't know, like during the pandemic, the Wonder Years did a Halloween show online, and I mean, at that point you can't have people over, but I think, yeah, I'd have like little Hank bags and maybe like lyrics as streamers, and yeah, it's just really cool, like how you like put like the food in there, and like it feels like a birthday party type thing.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's not on any specific set date, like, yeah, other than it being
on the 13th.
Well, yeah, but like you could have five in a year potentially. So
yeah, it could be like,
or you might have one.
It could be spring. It could be summer. It could be fall.
So that's part of the fun of it. It's just that it could be kind of whenever.
Yeah.
I think we should have a Three Ninjas party next.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Friday the 12th. Any Friday the 12th.
Thursday the
12th. Three ninjas. Thursday the 12th is a three ninjas.
We could get a really big table. We could get 13 of our closest friends.
I'd like to say, too, I'd like to give a shout out to all of us. Wick planned the party, and then four of us couldn't figure out how to get there together. Now, hold on, I'm going to say this. Bill had to work a 20-hour day, had an excuse. But and then it's like, so me and Jared are like, yeah, we can.
I never had any questions.
And right, and then so then it's like, hey, we meeting up, and then Abby's like, I left. We never said anything. And I look at the chat, and I'm like, yeah, we just kept pushing this off. We planned a whole party, and we couldn't figure out rides.
Can I just say that I offered to plan the ride share arrangement too?
Because that's true.
I was waiting for you guys to make a commitment in the chat. And I think it's just because we all have very different personalities of how we plan things. I think, yeah, Andy, you're a little bit more like, we'll figure it out on the day of. I don't like to think too far ahead. And Abby's like, I need to know like exactly where we're parking and what time we're leaving, yeah, and how many snacks I need to bring.
Sorry, and where everyone is parking. Like whose parking spot, yeah, is where?
I'm usually like with like how Abby plans it. I'm like usually like, I got my the day before I get my snacks ready. And I'm like, I'm ready. But then I was like, I knew, like, I had this sixth sense. I'm like, I'm going to get fucked that day with work. And not, yeah, that happened. That happened big time.
We couldn't get a hold of Bill till 7. So he's like, at 7 o'clock, he's like, hey, I'm on my way. I just left work. And we're like, don't you go in at like 6 in the morning?
All I, yep, know is I was home like, what time should I go get the fucking pizza? I got like three different groups of people showing up at five different times. Somehow.
Jared has the same weird flexible end time. So Jared's like, I'll let you know when I get
I'm
home.
I'm very it's inflexible. Be That's my time. I will not be there until I'm done at work.
That is, That's right. Jared's like, I'll let you know when I'm done.
Flexibility is allowing me to do that.
Yeah. I was off that day, so it was fine by me. But
I took the next day off and I was very stoked about that.
But I just like, if we're going to mention the party, we have to mention the fact that four of us could not figure out.
it would comical. Not be this friend group if that did That's not true. Happen.
Bill was the only one with the legit excuse, though, because he's like, I'm just going to work a 12-hour day. So I'll see you when I see you.
I didn't mean to. Trust me, I wanted to be out at 4. I was like,
Like I said at the party, and I'll say it again, this was Halloween hot takes all over again. This was where we had a group discussion about something that was happening, and then Andy proceeds to forget the homework, reach out to Jared, and Jared is supposed to explain to Andy what's going on outside of the group chat. And Andy comes back, and they're like, all right, So I didn't know what we were doing. So I reached out to Jared, and Jared also didn't know what we were doing, but here we go.
Hot dogs.
I texted and I was like, we should make a carpool plan. And Andy texted back like 15 minutes later. Yeah, we should. And then an hour later, I was like, Jared and I have been discussing it for weeks.
Jared and I have a final plan.
I thought I was there going was crazy.
There was no plan. I get out of work at 5. Once I'm out of work, I can leave.
I think all we needed was
the only thing was it just had to be after 5. That was my only qualifier.
Well, Andy was like, I'm going to be at Jared's house at 5 o'clock and we're going to leave from there. All he needed to do was go, Abby, would you also like to meet at Jared's house at 5 o'clock and we can carpool together? And that was the missing piece.
Yes, that is that exactly.
At 4:45 when we went to leave that I said, hey, I'm here. And like, okay, Abby, we're all here. Do you want to meet up so we can leave? And you're like, I'm already there.
We
can't do anything about that.
Wait until 5 o'clock to figure out what's going on. That's the point.
And then on the way there, then we can't ride share. And then Jared's like, did you just text me as I'm driving? I'm like, no. And he was like, it just said, hey, are you going to be home for 5? I'm like, dude, I texted that hours ago.
Like, oh God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel like this story gives the perfect description of what planning any episode of this podcast.
Yep.
Except for the next one.
It's
so good.
It's true. Yeah. That is why it makes
it good. Still good.
I have a quick question for you all because it's something that I experienced and I was like, it was kind of a weird, shameful moment. And I was like, I wonder if this is like a normal thing. So I was at a restaurant recently and it was a little bit upscale and I didn't know what half the fucking things meant on the menu. So I'm like Googling them to be like, what is that? Oh, that's weird, like name for that thing. And so, like, I Google it, and like the waiter came over at one point, and I like panicked, and I wanted to be like, oh, just like flip on anything else on my phone. Like, I'm looking at porn, just because like it felt less embarrassing than like having to look up the names of the things that were on the menu. And I did not want to ask. It's like, can you tell me what this strakatsetsi is? Like, here we go.
Yeah, no,
that's the job. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing.
I know, but it's like when you go to like a tag sale and they don't price anything and they want you to ask them the price and everything. It's just awkward. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd rather that than somebody that's got a bunch of eBay printouts on fucking everything. Like, what this one dude got full price. Like, I'm not taking a dime less.
Oh, I agree. Fuck the people that think eBay is like the pricing standard. It's like, are you paying eBay fees at your tag sale? No, you paid $5.
I mean, that's better than my mom. She'll be like, I'm selling this microwave. I'm like, how much? She's like, $400. I'm like, what? That's what I bought it for. I'm like, it is 20 years old, mom, and it barely
people
works.
People still buy the shit, though, until people stop purchasing it.
You can't sell it for retail price. You cannot. Everything, when she tag sales anything.
Can try.
It's all fucking retail price. I paid $20 for that jacket in the 80s, mom.
So it should be like $120 now.
All right, can we have a vague discussion about how Andy's mom uses descriptors for people?
Okay, yeah.
Where we asked what a certain person looked like, and Andy, you want to give us a description?
So she's like, hey. And I go, well, what does the person look like? She's like, she's short with big boobs. And I'm like, that's it? And then it took several days to get another description, and she was like, good teeth. And I'm like, mom, who are you describing? She's like, you know them. I'm like, short with big boobs could be anybody. It's like, it could be anything. And then good teeth. I'm like, I got to go around, look at people's teeth now, figure out who you talk to.
My mind Andy, was wandering, like how short and how big are the boobs? And I got to a point where I was picturing like a troll with like basketballs. I just need to know. It's like a 5'1" situation. Like, where are we? Like,
hey, you know this person, Andy. What do they look like? Short with big boobs. I'm like,
Andy, did you actually know this person? Did you actually know this person?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Andy, you know anybody short with big boobs?
Do you remember your mom's description of me back in the day?
Tall beats.
Tall. He's tall.
Tall spike head.
With spiky head.
Yeah.
I mean,
It was true. Like,
my grandfather was more descriptive when he would describe Nabil.
Leather
pants. The gender wrong. You know, he'd be like, I saw Andy with his goth girlfriend, long curly hair. And he described Nabil would be standing next to my grandfather. And my grandfather would describe Nabil's outfit to a T. And Nabil would just be looking down. And he'd be like, Nunu, that's me. Like, no, it was a girl. I'm like, Nunu, the only thing you're getting wrong is the gender. Like, you describe his outfit to a T.
Can we find out who Nunu is?
Oh, Nunu is Italian for grandfather. Oh, my grandfather.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I am.
Was Nunu a description of said person?
I didn't want to dox my poor grandfather.
Good man. I'm proud of you, Andy.
He was working on it.
I did almost dox him.
Give him time.
All right, he's dead. So next can I episode. Dox a dead person? Can you dox a dead person?
You can dox the dead.
You can? Oh, no.
I think we're probably, I mean, you guys can let me know, but I think we're probably ready to announce our next guests.
I'm so stoked for this.
For Tales from the Pits.
Yes!
Episode 4.
Like the Horsemen.
Are you talking about the Horsemen of the Apocalypse or WCW?
Both.
Okay.
The important one, WCW. So we've got two punk rock brothers from a punk rock family.
Yes.
We're welcoming Sean and Pat C.
Yes. Legends.
From such bands as the Pantalunatics. Barbed Wire Robot, Shattered. Really excited to have them on a few weeks. It's going to be a good ep. And then we've got some others planned again for the near future.
Yeah. But
very excited for that. So mark it on your calendars. Putting out another ep from the 413 podcast.
Mark it on calendars. Mm-hmm. We don't know when it's going to drop.
That's right.
Let's mark make it a plan then.
This October is a good time to subscribe. So if you listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you subscribe through the little like bell icon, you'll be alerted when new episodes drop. So then you don't have to like have a set time that you look for these. They'll just pop up for you. Great way to do that. Also, feel free to give us a rating on there. We'd love to see you. If you like the podcast, throw us a 5-star or whatever, thumbs up. Want to know how you guys are liking the podcast out there. Follow us on Instagram at It's the 413 Podcast.
Yes, the podcast so we can go from number 2 to number 1 413 Podcast.
It could happen.
Yeah, could we happen. Got this.
So far,
especially
we have
with the
New Year's resolution, become the number 1 in the 413.
Andy, have you done anything to help contribute to that?
I feel like, to be fair, this is a hot take. I'm the star of the show. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'll say it's not
a true. It's not a true.
Without my not remembering and having to go to Jared for what the homework is, hilarity would not ensue. And people would be like, fuck, how does this guy not? And he's dying, like he's getting beeped all the time.
You are definitely the homework of this fighting him, Irish podcast.
Yeah.
That's how we got the brisk.
That's how we got the
bris. It was with help.
You definitely have the most t-shirts of
thank you.
This podcast. Which I'm shocked by that. I mean, I'm the merch slut.
I mean, that's true. I should always have two made and send one to you. But I don't want you to have to work all that overtime, so I want to mail you.
Hey, I appreciate you.
Well, thanks everyone for jumping on and listening the episode this evening, and hope you all have a great night. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Till the next.
Peace.